This is a Jazz Online original podcast. Featured on this episode is The Real Tuesday Weld, celebrating Benny Goodman.
I guess I first heard Benny Goodman, well, it must have been when I was in my mother's womb. May even have been playing at the time of my conception. I grew up in a house, a strange house, where big band jazz was still all the rage, and we were force-fed a diet of swing and easy listening. But I guess I probably didn't really distinguish it as being Benny Goodman from all the other wonderful music until much later. In fact, probably until about 10 years ago, when I started paying a lot more attention to who was actually doing what. And of course, with Benny Goodman, there is that incredible clarinet which sets him aside. Benny Goodman wasn't the first thing from the big band swing and bebop eras I was drawn to. I actually always preferred the British dance bands for a long time, Henry Hall and Ambrose and so on. There's a kind of politeness there that Benny ripped through. I mean, it feels in some ways like he kicked down the door and in came swing into all these polite white parlours. What is it about that? I don't know, there's some wildness, isn't there? Maybe it's the klezmer thing, the tradition of Jewish music and mixed in with black music and ragtime that made something really quite different. Of course, what was interesting to me recently in studying music of the war time and propaganda music was that Benny Goodman was one of the first jazz musicians to be banned by the Nazis, even before they completely put a moratorium on swing. They banned Benny because he was Jewish, and I think also because there's something in the music which is wild and uncontained and uncontrollable, which they didn't like. I think his records were available in Nazi Germany for a while. They were put out under the name of Gene Krupa, I think. There are several Benny Goodmans, aren't there, really? There's the jazz, swing, big band, bebop, and the modern classical stuff. But somehow, after a while, you can kind of tell it's him playing anyway. What is that that makes you recognise it? I guess that's what you call genius. I like the big band stuff, the Fletcher Henderson arrangements and all that. But the distinctive thing that really strikes you is, I think, in the later sextet pieces. I mean, it's basically like he's a singer. He's got that kind of recognition factor, you know, like Al Bowie or Louis Armstrong or something. And that's why I probably think he worked really well with vocalists. He was basically singing himself. So really you're talking about duets rather than a band, swing band, with a vocal and accompaniment. Very difficult to pick out just two favourites from a repertoire like Benny Goodman's. I guess for the swing stuff, it's got to be that version of Sing Sing. I mean, it's just totally epic, and and shambolic and sort of shamanistic and wicked. It's like a kind of journey. I mean, it's recently reprised, I think, in Ben Sharest's Triplets of Belleville. It's got that whole gypsy jazz thing going on. It just kind of jumps out of the speakers. I mean, I think that's Gene Krupa on the epic Tom Tom solo. And then every time he plays and the band kicks back in, you can just imagine every dance floor across America erupting in a huge frothy frenzy. Then there's that really sneaky, snaky clarinet which slips in and it all kind of cascades downward, topsy-turvy, tumbling over itself. Bit of Mexican trumpet to add a bit of spice back in and a bit more Benny Goodman to finish it off. It's like a sort of huge meal. I mean, at the other end, you've got something like the quartet playing that floating tune, Moonglow, you know, beautiful, breathy, crooning right in your ear like a girl whispering to you. This really is, I think, the clarinet as a vocal, while the vibes are the accompaniment, the perfect song to end a perfect day. Lovely.
This has been a Jazz Online original podcast.